Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday, December 17th, 2018. 7 days till Christmas Eve. Christmas in 8 days.
I feel like just giving out a big scream. I'm not ready.
I'm not ready for the year number to change either.
Oh, yeah. I kind of look forward to that.
It's coming upon us. And then that early kind of winter that stayed with us all this time, which kind of threw everyone off. We typically have some warmer days.
Yeah.
And sunny days, and if you didn't get your rakes leafed up, or I, the other day, finally did my
up.
Gutters.
Your leaves raked up.
Yeah.
You said your rakes leafed up.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, too.
And anyway, what were you going to say
but
about
I was getting
about
the leaves out of the gutters, and some of them had kind of frozen. So,
oh, yeah.
And it's like 25 feet in the air. I have this extension ladder and everything, and I'm reaching up. My arm, after doing this for 3 hours, cramps.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, I finally got them all out. I was like, thank you, God. And then the next few days, the last few days ago, it started raining. I thought, wow, it just cleans out the gutters. So it was like perfect timing. But
this is why we can't believe it's Christmas. It's like we're talking fall stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Still getting the leaves out of the yard and the gutters.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, this year we seem to go from winter to summer to whatever this is.
That's a good way to put that, Kathleen.
Yeah.
And we got Kathleen with us. We should say that.
Oh, yes, yes. But I have to say, Kathleen, you got bumped off the front page. Kathleen's been like a front page story content contributor.
I know.
She is section B this time.
More than anybody else has been on the front page. But this article is fantastic that she's going to read. This is one of my very favorites. I think this is one of your best, Kathleen.
Well, thank you.
And you were telling us that. Some historians really were dissecting that picture that's really a classic one, their helmets and determining, trying to
figure
out.
I'm not sure how true a historians they were, but they were people who were interested and were looking at the helmets and the shape of the helmets.
And the cross there in the middle.
Right. But the shape of the helmets would determine what country the soldier came from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were trying to say, well, here's British, here's French, and that must be German. And it was kind of hard for him to decide how many different. Now, the information I got about this picture said it was British and German troops.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what we have as the caption.
Right.
We're talking about a black and white old picture in the paper with troops gathered around eating together.
B3, and the story that Kathleen Jennings is going to read is The Christmas Truce.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about that individually. We've talked about feedback we've gotten from the story.
Yeah, we have.
And then just the happy message, or the powerful, or the profound message. Here are troops, here are enemies, one day shooting at each other, you know, desiring to win the war from their perspective and killing the enemy.
Yeah. Sounds terrible when you say it that way, but that is war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right. It's kind of a killer be killed.
Yeah.
And this is
part of your ongoing series, From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings. And you have had one of these articles in this series in the paper since we took it over.
So this is
last November was the
13th. This is the 13th one.
And you've already worked on the 14th because we're up to our eyeballs in the January
We sure
edition.
Are. Let's not go there.
A little slap happy. It's because of sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
That is true.
Amongst
that
other things.
Happens.
The pressures of putting this paper together, though, I will say, and we continue to get great feedback. People are so enjoying this. They feel like this last year of articles and the content has really been a blessing. Some of the conversational English teachers say, I love getting the editions of the Prime Life Times, and we've increased subscriptions. You can subscribe and have this mailed to your mailbox, to your home or business or wherever, whatever address you give us. It's $30, and that basically just covers first-class postage. I mean, we're not making any profit. That's because of great people that submit ads and pay for those ads that we can allow this paper to be free. But we can always use other businesses that want to be a part of the Prime Life Times offering this to over 200 area locations, from Walmarts to libraries to hospitals to businesses to restaurants, gas stations. We're all over the place. So you can find out more at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, or give me a call. Maybe you're a business or service provider and you're thinking, maybe this would be an attractive way to increase sales or a allow your service to be known by our 30,000 monthly readers. Russ Taylor got on board last month.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun. Home for the holidays.
That was a good ad.
Trying to pressure some of my friends. Hey, this is a great paper. This is a great deal. Be a part of it. Help us offer this free of charge to our listeners and readers. So get on board.
And if you don't have an ad to place, you can always just support the paper.
Yes.
Yeah. Just send a donation as designated for the Prime Life Times. That would be so helpful.
Yeah, we're 100% listener-supported radio ministry. But our radio ministry includes the Prime Life Times, the Singing Men of GNN, the Children's Choir, which incidentally, that's this Saturday.
Oh my, let's talk about
Marketplace Mall at noon, everyone.
I'm so excited.
Early. Now, there's lots of parking, but I have a feeling that a lot of people are going to be coming, and especially with the Children's Choir. You get their parents, you get grandparents, you get neighbor kids.
They're so great.
Oh, it's really fun. Last Thursday when they were meeting here at the Great News Radio Center, they're working on another selection or two, so we hope to have them ready to have four or five songs, and then at the end they do the sing-along with the singing men, and so
they do a very nice job. They really do.
I think I talked about this already, but when we were in Danville for their debut, and I was standing next to Stephen, the children got on the risers, and so they were on stage, if you will. I was holding back tears. I mean, it was realized here these children had come together for about seven rehearsals, three directors that God has raised up. It was all realized. I was like, wow, this is a powerful moment. And then my daughter was a part of it, and Jason Schiffo, Pastor Jason, two of his children.
His girl had her birthday.
Yeah, we sang happy birthday to her. And,
yeah.
But it was powerful. I was starting to choke up and then holding back tears. I didn't want to start bawling there, but it was like, wow, this is another thing that God has done. And it got realized. It's successful. I've heard back from almost all the parents. They want it to continue, so we're praying up how this will be launched again. Like, we'll take a Christmas break and then probably follow the school schedule, probably Thursday in January. It's the same with the English Conversation class. We had our last gathering last Thursday for this year, and all the students were like, well, when are we going to meet again? And so I said, probably the second Thursday the new year. And we did a whole Christmas study on the biblical narrative of Joseph and Mary and
the
angels.
The choir?
This was like English Conversation class.
Oh.
So I'm jumping back and forth.
Okay.
Yeah, the English Conversation class.
I heard you guys doing that.
Yeah.
That was great.
It was really good questions. And, you know, when trying to explain the virgin birth was a little like,
wow,
how do you really explain that when you come from a background that you're hearing this for the first time.
Yeah,
and the
English, the barrier language barrier, too.
And God impregnating a woman, and he was God
and man. I
don't
know that I would put it quite like
that. Well, through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And then we explain how the Holy Spirit came over her, and what does that all mean.
Yeah.
So,
that's deep for everyone, not just a conversational English class.
So, but I invited many of them to come on out on Saturday,
so I hope
it'll be a great turnout. So come early, have lunch in the food court, or do your last-minute Christmas shopping and
such. I think that's so fun that it's in the food court.
Yeah.
Of course, I like food, but it's just fun that all that food places around.
Well, not only that, what we love most about it, that and the prison ministry concerts are kind of our two favorites. But why we love the food court, and this will be the 20th year, is the general public is walking through. So I would say a third of the audience are maybe unchurched people or people that maybe from their childhood remember some of these songs but have not paused and heard a God-honoring Christmas concert before. And they stand there and get seated and have lunch. So we usually figure at least half of the audience is maybe unchurched. And they're captivated. You have all these guys in tuxedos singing powerfully and with the children adding that element of that innocence and their wonderful, sweet voices. I think Dee said it best. She said, maybe God is using the children to really soften the hearts.
Aww.
And then you have the powerful men with their voices of conviction.
Ooh, that gets chills. I love Christmas. This is great. I love Christmas.
Good Christmas, everyone.
Oh, we're getting excited.
Well, it's a very good reminder for people who are there to buy presents for family or
friends. I need
to
do that.
Yeah.
It's a very good reminder of why they are there.
Yeah.
I know it's an old saw, but what the reason for the season.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the singing men, I am so delighted. If anyone doesn't know, the singing men sent Carl Duderstadt down in Florida in the nursing home.
Yeah. Wonderful.
A beautiful plaque saying you were the chaplain emeritus for 10 years. Like, was it?
Yeah, long time.
They had the dates and this really neat
Very
kind of
nice.
Poem.
Well, I don't know if you know it.
Beautiful.
We Skyped him. So during rehearsal Monday night, yeah, last Monday, we Skyped them on a big screen. So the First Baptist Church of Champaign and Savoy allowed us to use some of their equipment, and then we had a laptop. So we had this big, like, 72-inch screen, at least a real big one, so we could see him fully pictured, and then he could see us, so they had that dual Skype capability.
He just looked so happy.
Oh, yeah, because he's having trouble. Like, he has to take a breath almost.
He's in really rough shape.
Yeah, through every word. And
I love Carl. He's in rough shape.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, so we celebrated. He prayed us in.
I know,
we
I saw you pray.
Yeah, it was
makes
great.
Me cry.
It was powerful.
That's good.
So,
oh, goodness.
All right, everyone.
We should read.
This Saturday, come out, Marketplace Mall in Champaign. Be seated by noon in the food court, and we'll have Singing Men CDs, so if you need that last-minute stocking stuffer or gift, or if you make a donation, you'll get a It's a Wonderful Life.
I was going to say.
Oh, which, speaking of It's
we'll
a Wonderful Life,
CDs.
That's also happening this Friday.
We got to read.
We're
going to
put on the air. All right, so Kathleen, supercharged, keep listening all week long, Singing Men on Saturday, Friday.
Friday, It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life. It'll preempt Mark and Friends during the morning. I'll do a little intro, and then you'll hear it in its entirety, and then re-air it in the evening. And maybe on Saturday and Sunday. We'll see how that all works out.
I'm so excited about Christmas. Okay.
Yes.
Very good.
Okay. We are turning to Section B. We open it up to page number 3. There's a picture of Kathleen Jennings, The Christmas Truce.
To this day, the details of its beginnings remain unclear. But a most remarkable event happened the evening of December 24th, 1914. The sounds of gunfire along the western front of World War I dwindled. In their place, the simple, poignant melody of Franz Gruber's Stille Nacht emanated from the trenches and seemed to gently cover the frozen ground. The New York Times published a letter written home by Graham Williams of the 5th London Rifle Brigade, in which he wrote, "First the Germans would sing one of their carols, and then we would sing one of ours, until when we started up, O Come All Ye Faithful, the Germans immediately joined in singing the same hymn to the Latin words, Adeste Fidelis." And I thought, well, this is really a most extraordinary thing. Two nations both singing the same carol in the middle of a war. There had been many optimistic predictions that the war would be over by Christmas. From the English Channel to the Swiss Alps, a distance of 450 miles, 5 months of warfare had resulted in stalemate. In some areas, opposing lines were so close, it was possible to not only hear the enemy clearly, but also smell their cooking. Both sides, caught up in a vicious conflict, dealt with cold, wet, muddy conditions. Perhaps it was this shared experience that brought to mind other things in common: a Christmas carol, memories of home, shared boxes of cigars and candy. Despite the official prohibition against fraternization, on Christmas Day, German soldiers initiated such interaction with shouts of Merry Christmas in English as they crossed no man's land and approached the Allied lines. Realizing this could be a trick, Allied troops cautiously climbed out of their trenches after seeing that the Germans carried no weapons. These truces seem to have occurred at almost every place along the British lines and frequently at points along the French and Belgian lines. During the day, troops exchanged gifts of food and souvenirs, as well as taking time to finally bury their fallen brothers, whose bodies had lain for weeks between the conflicting battle lines. While researching the Christmas truce, I was reminded of another time, in another war, when military enemies sought and found common ground. During World War II, the federal government established prisoner of war camps throughout the United States. In 1943, they built such a camp at Clarinda, a small southwest Iowa community. Camp Clarinda housed German and later Japanese POWs. My father, at that time an MP, which was military policeman, was transferred from Fort Warren, Wyoming, to Clarinda, where he became a mess sergeant and supervised several German POWs who worked in the kitchen. He had studied German in school, and he could understand the POWs even though some of their dialects were different from what he had learned. After finding out some of the POWs had been artists before the war, he bought brushes, paints, and canvases for them and enjoyed giving them encouragement. Many of the painters thanked him by giving him paintings. It was common for those who worked in the kitchen to tell him that they wanted to return to the United States after the war and work for him. He had to explain that he really wasn't a cook, but a science and physics teacher.
Wow.
My mother was a secretary at the post hospital, where she worked closely with physicians, nurses, and laboratory technicians. She also came in contact with many of the prisoners. According to an interview she gave to Dan Eshelman for his book, Camp Clarinda, the prisoners she observed on work details were hard workers, and many of them had a wide range of talents in a variety of areas. They were skilled with their hands, and they were also quite creative. It was as if they had to develop every talent they had in order to get along. She believed most of the prisoners had positive impressions of us as Americans because of the kind of treatment they received at the camp. In the spring of 1945, when some of the prisoners learned of my impending birth, they decided...
Camp. Okay, in case somebody's just tuning in, they're like, what? This is Kathleen Jennings. She wrote this article, and she's talking about her father and mother that
right,
were a
yeah.
part of this camp, and your birth,
right.
which was some years ago. Not too many, just some
few,
years.
Just yeah. a few. Don't you count up.
Yeah.
In the spring of 1945, when some of the prisoners learned of my impending birth, they decided to give a very special gift. Using wood salvaged from shipping crates, they fashioned a three-drawer chest to hold my baby clothes. I still have that small chest. I keep it beside the drafting table in my studio, a reminder of times when individuals, even if enemies, responded to kindness and shared experiences with understanding. Hmm. There were other occasional outbreaks of peace during World War I, but none to the extent of the 1914 Christmas truce. Approximately 100,000 British and German troops participated in that unofficial pause. When I was a child, my father taught me to sing Silent Night in German, just as it was sung in the trenches so long ago. Scripture tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." May all of us find our Stille Nacht and sleep in heavenly peace. Blessed Christmas.
Hmm. That's beautiful.
And that's what you always say. You don't say Merry Christmas. You always say Blessed Christmas.
I say Blessed Christmas. Hmm.
You have one of my favorite new sayings in this article. I just want to point out the sentence where you said, "There were other occasional outbreaks of peace during World War I." That struck me so hard. I actually started praying that now. Let there be outbreaks of peace.
Outbreaks of peace.
Mm. Around the world. I just love it. Outbreaks of peace. We always talk about outbreaks of conflict and outbreaks of war.
Mm-hmm.
I love that phrase, Kathleen.
Mm. Well, thank you very much.
Kathleen Jennings, who currently lives in Mahomet, Illinois, is a watercolor artist who loves history and researching personal stories of the wars Americans have fought. You can contact her at Kathleen@WatchmanOnTheWall.com. Kathleen@WatchmanOnTheWall.com. And you were telling me a story. I know we only have a couple minutes here, but when you were recently, or at some point, you were carrying this, what do you call this, this dresser, this clothes dresser, children's clothes
yes.
dresser. And as you were moving it, or you pulled the shelf out, you looked
yes.
in?
Well, I decided to move the chest that they had made for me upstairs
so
into my
like
studio.
So this is like 1945, 63, 60,
I don't know.
70?
It was only about 5 or 6 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, that you were moving it. But this chest
was
from World War II.
That's right.
Okay.
The chest was from 1945. Yes. Anyway, I was pulling the chest up the stairway, and it's heavy. because this was heavy wood. So in order to get the chest up, I had to take the drawers out. Mm-hmm. And when I took the drawers out, and as I pulled it up, I looked inside, and I could see an inscription on the inside back of the chest. It was covered up by the drawer. And it said, who made the chest, for whom it was made, had my parents' name, my name, and the year.
So these POWs, when they were building this, signed it, if you will.
It said made by German POWs.
Yes, it said made by. I'm sure they had.
Just, that would made me just bawl.
See, well, I did.
Yeah, I bet.
Because, and it isn't that I didn't believe my parents. I knew that. But to see that there, I don't know. It was written very well. Very beautiful script.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm not sure if one of the prisoners did that or if they got someone to do it for them.
Hmm.
But it's
what a treasure,
truly a treasure. It truly is.
Yeah, and this story is a treasure. I mean, on the one hand, yeah, there's aspects of evil in the world, and you want to restrain that evil, and yet the taking of another person's life, and, you know, it just... It's
never to be done lightly.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So the Christmas Truce in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, the December edition, you can still go and pick it up at over 200 area locations or get it sent to you in 2019. Subscribe to the Prime Life Times. We'll mail this to you for the next 11 months. We'll give you updated copies. It's $30, so you can call that in to Karen at 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Maybe as a Christmas gift, you'll get a year subscription to somebody you want.
That's a great idea. We just thought of that, didn't we? I have to say this. Okay, this may just be me. And I have interest in small things. But on the front of this little facsimile paper, the little ad from 1945 or whatever, silver shred lemon marmalade. That's different.
Yes, I'm not sure. Well, and it's an English paper.
Daily Mail.
And
silver
course,
shred. Who would name marmalade? I mean, it's like, is there silver shreds in it?
Yeah. I'm not sure, but the English love their marmalade.
Yeah, they do.
So.
Yeah. All right, we'll pick up a copy and see if you can figure that out.
Yeah, and tell us, because Rob hasn't told us yet.
Oh,
so
that's right.
We
I forgot
trust
to ask
you.
Yeah.
Maybe Rob knows. Maybe Rob
All right,
knows.
Everyone, hope to see you Saturday. Remember, tune in for Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, as you'll hear It's a Wonderful Life by almost 50 local cast members, the Great News Radio Drama Team, under the direction of Kate Freeman, and lots of great Christmas music now through the end of the year. So thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and
blessed Christmas.
Blessed Christmas to all.